Paul, a bond servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accord with godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. For a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole household, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true, therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables, commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. The last verse. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts in Jesus' name. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you this morning because it is time for us to feed from your word. Reach out to us. Your word is able to give life and understanding unto the simple. We ask for a release of it. Do thy bidding in our midst this morning in the name of Jesus. Reach out to your people. Let your fire be an edge round about us. We come against every work of the enemy, every plan of the evil one to rob us of our blessings this day. Lord, we ask they are dismantled in the name of Jesus. Speak through me, Lord, for I have no word of my own. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Shall we be seated? Once again, greetings to my Father and the leadership of this chapel for this privilege to be the one to bring in the word of God to us this day. I do not take it for granted. It's my prayers that God will do that which he wants to do in the name of Jesus. Our topic this morning is our invaded church, wrong teaching on the prowl. I speak without mind, you can display it. Okay, we have it on our bulletin. For those who are not having bulletin, our invaded church, wrong teachings on the prowl. Our text that we read is one of the letters of Apostle Paul. This one is to his dear son and the Lord Titus. Titus was a Gentile convert to Christianity who became a fellow worker and assistant to Paul in his missionary work. Paul's letter to Titus is addressed to his young helper in Crete, who had been left there to supervise the work of the church. The letter expresses three main concerns. First, Titus is reminded of the kind of character that church leaders should have, especially in view of the bad character of many Cretans. Next, Titus is advised how to teach the various groups in the church, the older men, the older women, who are in turn to teach the younger women, the young men and the slaves. Finally, the writer gives Titus advice regarding Christian conduct, especially the need to be peaceful and friendly, and to avoid hatred, argument, and division in the church. This letter was probably written sometime between the writing of the first and the second letters to Timothy. And scholars group these three letters as letters which are known as pastoral epistles. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, from the passage that we read, we see several things that Apostle Paul presented to Titus, his son there. In one of the places, he mentioned the word, say, these people, they are circumcision. He told about people who were teaching and preaching things that were not right, that were not scriptural. And very many of these people are actually from the Jewish background. Hence, Paul referred to them as the circumcision group, because the Jews are the ones who are circumcised. Then, all the other Gentiles do not. And so Paul specifically told them, see, these people are the circumcision group. And he also reflected, he made mention of some of the characters that these people put up. And he quoted a poet. Theologians are of the view that the man that Paul actually called a prophet here is not actually a prophet, but a poet known in history. And for hundreds of years back, this man wrote, because he's also a Christian, and he said this about his own people, that they were gluttons, they were this, they were that, and everything he mentioned 100 years later still stand true in the midst of these people. And in this line, Apostle Paul used the word that even one of your prophets, this man said this many years ago, and his teaching, it was like seeing all into the future. And so Paul made that remark, say, even your own said this about you. And that is why the believers need to be taught thoroughly. That is why Titus had to be saddled with responsibility of making sure that Christ indeed is formed in the lives of the Christians, so that they will not be the usual Christians that they have been, whose ways of life do not bring glory to God. And as we continue, we are going to look at some few things, then we will pray. If you look at topic, say, our invaded church, wrong teachings in the prowl. What does it mean to invade? To invade means, one, to move into, two, to enter by force in another, in order to conquer, and three, to infest or overrun, to overrun something. Number four, to attack, to infringe, to encroach, or to violate, as the case may be. And number five, to make an unwelcome or uninvited visit or appearance, usually with an intent to cause trouble or some other unpleasant situations. So from this definition, you could see that many of the unpredictable things we hear or see in church today are indeed the result of the invasion of the enemy of the cross, the devil. Then the word there in us, topic, for purpose of clarity, prowl, prowl, is to roam over, through, or about in a steady manner, especially to search in as for prey or for a booty. So, wrong teachings are roving over and spreading here and there in the body of Christ. So, when we say the church, we are referring to the body of Christ, which is one. And so, when I use the word church, so if I say church, I'm not just talking about our Savior's chapel. And if I use the word churches, I'm referring to our local churches, the congregations. But our attention is actually what the enemy is doing to the body of Christ, which we must guide against. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Quickly, we're going to look at some of the areas of inversion. Number one, denial of the sufficiency of scripture. One of the things that the enemy is doing to the body of Christ today is to make people believe that the scripture is not sufficient enough, and people scratch here and there to bring in things that are not in accordance with the word of God, that are not biblical based. We can see that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 10 to 17. That is quite a long passage, so just note it down. You read it, I suspect, and we may not read all of those long passages, but I will mention them. You take note of them. Majority of people deny the sufficiency of scripture. This is the reason why many are under the snare of false teachers, because the people are looking for revelations through solution outside the scope of scripture. This is also why people dabble into reading of certain books like 7 books of Moses in order to acquire power. The word of God, the scripture, is very sufficient. And so, if you as a child of God, you are deceived that you need some 7 books of Moses or here or there or other things to do to bring about salvation or to bring about the happening of some miracles, so to say, then it is an indication that your faith had been invaded. May you be delivered in the name of Jesus. Of recent, a colleague told us a story about a woman who was in need. This woman was married for some number of years now and no issue. And so, a consigned friend walked up to her, said, "Madam, there is a prophet I know that could help." So, okay, let's go. And they went. They got there to meet the prophet in his temple. Or do I say temple? That should be a shrine. To meet the prophet. The prophet looked and said, "Oh," say, "it's easy. Ah," he said, "walk over," and all of that. Say, "only," like MTN will say, "terms and condition applies." The woman said, "whatever I will do, I need children." And he told the woman, "say, the only thing is just have to sleep with me. And you go home." And that settles it. The lady frowned, said no. She got up. Say, "well, if you feel that one, you are not comfortable with that, you just open your mouth and I'll put my spit in your mouth. And that is a lesser option." The woman frowned, said, "no, I can't do any of this one." As they were back leaving, the friend called her. Say, "if you cannot speak with her, this one, what is the big deal in it? Just take the spit and go, provided the miracle happens." And the friend succeeded in convincing her to open his mouth, her mouth rather, so that this prophet could deposit his spit in her mouth. She opened her mouth and received it. As they were going, something had transpired. A demonic force that the woman could not resist brought her back. And the first condition she ran away from, she had to fulfill it again. These are people who feel that the word of God is not sufficient in itself and that they need help here and there. She succeeded in sleeping with this so-called prophet and they left. Got home, strange things were just happening within her. At the point she couldn't bear it, she had to open up to her husband. As we talk, that is the end of that marriage. God's word is sufficient. God's word is able to do whatever his children need. We don't need any other one. Number two, denial of Christian suffering.
This is one of the third and fourth teaching of our time, the denial of Christian suffering. This is clearly evident in some of the songs we hear today in our churches. We live in a generation that at all costs don't want to identify with anything suffering. Who wants to suffer? Denial of Christian suffering is a threading force teaching in our time today. Like I mentioned, this is reflected or clearly evident in some of the songs we sing. Me, I no go suffer, I no go beg for food. God of miracle, now my papa, oh, God of miracle, now my father, oh. And so, once you suffer, you are no longer in tune with that God of miracle. That is not totally true. Number two, this song, this service, when you come, so we know them. Now, so good will follow you. Fried rice in the morning, salad in the afternoon. Then, is it tea now? Tea and bread in the evening. And so, if you eat it by the morning and you repeat it by the afternoon, that means that service have lied. Is somebody listening to me? Denial of Christian suffering is a threatening force teaching in our time today, and is rooted in the plans of the enemy to delay the people of God. There are missionaries out there who, if they have a cup of garri to eat for the full day, they are happy. They have no access to fried rice. They have no access to all the minere minere that we clamor after. So they are not serving God. Another song. Today I will lift up my voice in praise, for I know you are always there for me. You are there for me, Almighty God. From the ages past, no matter what I face, when success comes my way, I will praise your name. When success not come, what happens? I know the original song. The writer says, when trouble comes my way, I will praise the Lord. But it has been doctored, because we live in a generation who will never want to associate itself with the theology of suffering. And so, for those of us who are smart, if you don't want to use the word success, we just broaden it. Whatever comes my way, I will praise up, so far not in trouble. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Whatever comes my way, but underneath, so far make it not be trouble. But the saints of old say, one trouble comes my way, I will praise the Lord. For the man who could praise God in times of trouble, is there any other time he could not praise God? And for the one who will always praise God in times of success, in times of breakthroughs, in times of victory, when it turns out the other way, Rubani Yomawo Ogake have spoken in tongues. See, when it is good, they enter. When it then do what kind, they step aside. That is the kind of joy that is before us today. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. May I want to, this topic is not a palatable one. There is what we call the theology of suffering. Every true believer has a share of it. The degree may vary. The more you study the scripture, the more you will realize that suffering is an integral tool of our sanctification. It was promised by Christ and should be expected. Jesus told them, in the world there, you will have tribulation. But because we have chosen to conform, we have chosen to go along, and so many of the things that ordinarily will have brought us trouble from these people are held back. The early Christians, some of them had to lose their citizenship.
Their goods, their property were confiscated by the government of the day. And at a point, some of them were like, can we continue? Those of them who were Roman citizens, their citizenship was taken away from them because they have chosen to say, Jesus is Lord. Everyone has to come to say that Caesar is Lord or the emperor is Lord. But when believers said otherwise, said, no, not Caesar, it is Jesus that is Lord. And in some cases, they have to gather every time just to renew your loyalty. You will come and say, Caesar is Lord. Then you go. For those of them who will not come, they have lost out. May God help us in the name of Jesus. And this Joshua, I recommend for you a book by one man called Richard Wurmbrand, titled Tortured for Christ. Have you read that book? Go and read it. Tortured for Christ by Richard Wurmbrand. Number three, what saved always saved is another threatening false teaching of our time today. Romans chapter 6 from verse 1 to verse 23. That's a long one also. We may not read it, just take note of it. This is coming from teachers who made light of sin. They claim that our past, present and future sins were not just paid for but forgiven, even if we didn't confess them. Hence, disciples of once saved, forever saved movement mostly lived carelessly. And without apology, I think many youth of our time had actually embraced this once saved, forever saved gospel of our time. May I say this, any teaching on grace that permits a Christian to live continuously in sin is a false grace. That grace is not a true one. Do transform men that they may not live habitually in sin. Take note of Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 24 and 29. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 31. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 31 to 34. I take that again. Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 24 to verse 29. And Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 31 to verse 34. Another false teaching that is spreading all over in the church today is materialistic gospel. Another trendy false teaching is materialistic gospel. It is worthy to know that false teachings that stay greed and covetousness abounds today. This leads to materialism. This false gospel has exchanged worship through giving with a selfish desire for multiplying and amassing wealth. Don't get it wrong. It is not a sin to amass wealth. It is not a sin to be rich. But the manner with which people go over it today becomes questionable. Of course, a preacher told us last Sunday of a young man who was telling the friend, I actually had a story before that day, who was telling the friend that, by next week, I'm having some brand of car. And his eyes were on the mother who bore her in the womb for 9 months and brought him forth. What a wicked world that we have become, that we have find ourselves this day. This false gospel had exchanged worship through giving with a selfish desire for multiplying and amassing wealth. Plus, people ultimately want the gift and not the giver. They see Jesus as a means to their lustful end. The resultant effect is that these preachers, so teachers, present a crossless Christianity. Christianity that is void of the cross. That is what they present. And our people like it that way. And they embrace it. People are swallowing it hook and line. May you not be part of them in the name of Jesus. Number five, heaven and hell as mere concepts of the mind.
Some people teach that there is no heaven or hell anywhere. They believe that when you are suffering in this earth, that is already your hellfire. And if you are enjoying, that is your heaven.
Maybe that teaching originated from some false religion. And some Christians, or some people who claim to be Christians, embraced it.
Number six, God is a merciful God. He will not cast any human being into hell. God is a merciful God. Who tells you? God who created man to look like him. Wait till now, you know the reason now.
A lie.
No matter what, God will not cast anybody into hell.
God is a merciful God.
This is a misconception on the mercy of God. The same merciful God, the scripture also declares him as a consuming fire. The nation that forget God shall be turned into hell. That is what the word of God says. If God is ready to turn a whole nation into hell, then somebody is saying an individual, you are so precious in the hand of God. No matter what you do, God will not push you into hell. You need to have a rethink. Number seven, God looks at the heart and not the outward appearance. It's another trendy false teaching of our time today. And it is also a misconception of scriptural injunctions. Promoters of this biblical statement have interpreted it out of context and thereby using it as a means of importing all sorts of rubbish into the church in the name of dressing. People are ready. We were told when we were growing up, at least without being told, dressing is to cover our nakedness. But what do we see today? We dress to expose our nakedness. Kudos to modern girls and modern boys. May the Lord deliver them in the name of Jesus. And some questionable mothers and fathers in those days when this program that teachers usually run on holiday, how would they call them? Sandwich. You see some old mama which is raising the phone from their host. Children carry over. Who came to do sandwich? Hallelujah. And so that you say, oh, God looks at the heart and not the outward appearance. So whatever you do, you can wear pint and be on the streets in the name of God looks at the heart. It's an indication that your heart is dirty. From the heart, the mouth speaks, and you express it through your dressing also. That is another trending false teaching of our time. The way forward. As I round off. Number one, establishment of genuine Christian education in our churches. We should understand that Christian education is far more than just ministry to children. Christian education passes the Christian faith from one generation to the next. Number two, opposing false teachers. You see what Apostle Paul told Titus. That he had to, his assignment was to appoint elders, leaders in the church. If you check different translation, some says elders, some say overseers, and all of that. Who will teach the sound doctrine to others? This became very necessary because Apostle Paul understood the way of life of the Cretans. Of course, history had it that the Cretans are very polygamous in nature. Some of them have official wives, girlfriends, and concubines. That is what history told us, which I also saw from records of theologians. But this is not to be among the people of God in the church. Hence, he had to repeat, he had to reiterate
These people must be the husband of one wife. So, the elders are in forefront of the battle against the false teachers. The false teachers are out to deceive in order to gain money or status they do not deserve. The false teachers in the day of Titus were mainly of Jewish origin, which is why Paul called them the circumcision group. I've said that before now. Number three, believers should be engaged in personal and regular study of the Bible. I thank God for the song of Acolytus once again, that God will teach us his ways. One of the things we could do is to ensure that as believers, we engage in personal and regular study of the Word of God. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 tells us, say, okay, this book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. If the Bible talks about good success, that's an indication that some sources are not good sources, so they are bad sources. Then 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2, if we can have that. The evil parties, okay, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the world, that you may grow thereby. The evil practices to wrong teachings from false teachers and prophets are prospering in our church today because of the sheer ignorance of some people. In recent time, we heard about a prophet at Asaba, a woman who said, anybody who needs the fruit of the womb, a man, just come and sleep with her. And when you go home, children will start coming, and men are queuing up to sleep with her. Where is that one rooted in the Word of God? Believers should endeavor to grow in grace. If you don't grow, you will be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Number five, as I close, church leadership should ensure that congregants or worshippers are fed continually with undiluted Word of God that is rooted in sound biblical doctrine. And that is what my spiritual father does here every day. Can we put our hands together for the Lord? Conclusion. The agenda of Satan in invading the church is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to drag men to hell with him. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to verse 11. Shall we rise up as we pray? I took two prayer points from the song of our choristers. That song is prayer on its own. I pull out that we've got to prayer as we close. Number one, teach us your ways. Can you tell the Lord to teach you his ways today? Or you are still a baby in the Lord who can be tossed here and there with every wind of doctrine. Hey, they say woman, they want one place where they try where you are there. They say woman, they want one place where they try where you are there. And when you get there, you hear things that are mind blowing. Say, baby, I need this thing now. So far, I get them. Tell me what that woman paid. She will feel bad. She said, no way, I can't sleep with you. If not to open my mouth and take spit, at least I can do that one. But having received this spit, she ended up sleeping with a man again. Can you talk to God? Oh Lord, teach me your ways. 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 To help us to walk in your path. Can you ask the Lord to help you to walk in his path? The grace to walk in the path of the Lord. The psalmist told us in Psalm 119, how can the young man, how can the young woman, how can the old man, how can the old woman, crazy away. Say, by hearkening unto the voice of the Lord. And the psalmist went on to say, oh Lord, your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. How much of God's word is in your heart, beloved? If you are not studying the word of God on a daily basis, that means you don't have a reservoir to draw from when the time of needs come. We teach you here, we preach here. Thank God for my father, the spiritual leader of this chapel, who will ensure that we are not fed with garbage, with weeds. And how much of the word do you go back on your own, like Liberian Christian, to read on a daily basis? And that is why we can fall for everything. If you cannot stand for something, you can be sure you will fall for everything. You need to stand for Christ. Can you draw your prayer to a close? Our Father in heaven, thank you for the word you have brought to feed us today. You have told us, you have drawn our attention to this very important issue, our invaded church. Indeed, we can continue to mention again and again and again and again diverse area wherein the body of Christ has been invaded. Wrong teachings spreading all over the place, and your people are swallowing sin hook and line. Lord, you have drawn our attention to these things. Deliver us in any area we have fallen short of this in the name of Jesus. As individuals, in any area we have been captured with these wrong teachings today, we ask for deliverance. Deliver us, Lord, and set us on a path of righteousness. In the name of Jesus, for our viewers online, we pray for you that any area you have been captured, you have been invaded with wrong teachings, may the Lord deliver you in the mighty name of Jesus. May you be candidate of heaven and not of hell in the name of Jesus. Lord, cleanse us and keep us rapturable. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray.